Hey guys, so many people struggle with shame or guilt or a disability or a rejection. If you find yourself broken, this message is for you. Well, we've been in the middle of a series. I'm excited about the series we're doing right now called You'll Get Through This. Last week we talked about the need to get through the pressure that we feel to do the wrong thing. And today I want to talk about a very unique thing, and that is that there's a lot of people who deal with the brokenness about you or a disability even, a struggle, a weakness. And so we're going to talk about a guy named Mephibosheth in the Bible. Let me set this up if I can. So David is considered one of the greatest kings in Israel's history. All historians say that study Israel. David's boss at the time before he became king was Saul. He was supposed to be a good king, but he turned and just kind of went crazy. He began to chase down David. He was so jealous of him, tried to kill him. Saul had a son named Jonathan. Jonathan and David were super tight, and Jonathan was very loyal to David, even knowing that he felt like God's hand was on David, even though he was supposed to be the next king because his father was the king, right? But he was loyal to David anyways. So they were incredibly loyal to each other. Well, eventually, Jonathan and his father Saul, who was king at the time, died in battle. And the day that they died in battle, Jonathan's son, or Saul's grandson, named Mephibosheth, they grabbed him, scooped him up, and ran to hide. Because it was normal when a king was killed, whoever the next king was, they would go after the family and destroy them all. That's kind of how it worked. It was basically Game of Thrones in real life, okay? So they would just slaughter everyone to protect the right that they felt like they had to be king. So I want to pick up the story here because what happens to Mephibosheth has happened to a lot of people. So check it out. It says this, 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Saul's son, Jonathan, had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled. But as she hurried away, she dropped him, and he became crippled. Let me just ask you a question. Who has dropped you? All of us have wounds, brokenness, struggles, and oftentimes it's because someone that should have carried us dropped us. Maybe you come from a broken home. Maybe someone you trusted as your best friend betrayed you. Maybe you were married and you thought this was for life and then it was not. Or maybe you literally have, like Mephibosheth, a physical ailment that is just unfixable. And so Mephibosheth was crippled his entire life because of this one incident. And a lot of people struggle with disabilities. Maybe it's a physical disability. Maybe it's a mental or emotional disability. All of us have areas that we are broken. If you're taking notes, the first thing I want to encourage you to write down is that it hurts when someone you trust it drops you. It just does. Let's just acknowledge it for what it is, that many of us have trusted in someone to care for us, and the person who's supposed to be caring for us ended up hurting us. Now, obviously, this nurse did not intentionally do this, but it still doesn't change the result. It still happened. So Mephibosheth grew up to be a man who was crippled his whole life. And so maybe something happened to you that has been crippling as well. And so let's just acknowledge that it happens. We have bad things that happen to us. Maybe someone did something to you, or maybe someone wasn't there for you and you didn't get the care that you needed. Maybe in your home, you grew up looking at your friends' homes and thought, why can't my family be more like that than the way your family actually is? So all of us have these types of wounds. And so, but look what happens next. I want to show you this because today's message I'm excited about, because if you're hurting today, if you feel broken, if you have a disability, a struggle, a weakness that you can't seem to fix, and you just feel like you're lacking wholeness, I've got great news for you. The King is looking for you. The Bible is very clear about this. That's the title of today's message. The King is looking for you. Let me show you what it says in Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 9. One day David asked, this is many years later, he's king. He asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. In Lodabar, Ziba told him, at the home of Machir, son of Amiel. So he was in hiding in Lodabar. Did you know the name Lodabar literally means land of lack or land of nothing? I wonder how many people that are hearing my voice right now feel like you're living in a land of nothing. You say, I look at my life and I have nothing to show for. I feel like I'm living in lack, Pastor. I'm missing things and I feel crippled in life. I've got great news for you. The King is trying to hunt you down today so he can bless your life. That's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible actually says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. What that means is that if you are broken, God is here calling you, saying, I want you to come to my table. I want to bless you. I want to be there for you. So God is looking for you. God is chasing you down to bless you. In the late 80s, there's a true story of a lady that she was a young girl at the time. She was working at the local mall. And after her shift was done, the mall had closed. It was late at night. She was walking out to her car. It's kind of dangerous for a young girl going to her car late at night. She was looking around, just a little paranoid, right? She gets in her car. She begins to drive home, and she notices after about the second or third turn she makes, the car behind her keeps turning and following her. So now she gets really nervous, and every once in a while, the brights of the car behind her come on and go right into her mirror, and it started to really scare her. She started to drive home faster and faster. Then she realized her parents may not be home, so she immediately shifted gears. This is smart. She started driving to the police station. And so she was going as fast as she could. At this point, she's crying. She's got tears in her eyes. She keeps looking at it because everyone saw the lights come on again, the high beams, freaking her out. She pulls into the police station, puts it in park, and jumps out running and screaming, saying, help me, help me, help me. The man behind me is trying to hurt me. She runs into the police station. At the same time, the man that followed her jumps out of the car and doesn't run towards her, but runs towards the car. A police officer comes out. The man was following her because there was a man in the back seat of the girl's car with a weapon. And every time he would start to lean up, the guy behind her noticed it. And so she would flash his light so he'd go back under and duck again. And so the very person that she thought was chasing her to hurt her was the one trying to protect her. There is a God who's hunting you down not to hurt you. He's hunting you down to protect you, to be there for you, to help you, to bless you. He's there for you. So here is Mephibosheth, who is probably thinking, since I'm, you know, a child of who should have been king, you know, my father, then, you know, they probably would just kill me. So every day he woke up probably thinking, is today the day I die? Is today the day they find me? So he was literally in hiding. Can you imagine how terrifying that must have been all his life? So here's what happens. So David sent for him and brought him from Machir's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low. David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth replied, I am your servant. I love this. So David has said, go find him, bring him to me so I can bless him. Why was he blessing him? Was he blessing Mephibosheth for Mephibosheth's sake? No. He was blessing Mephibosheth because of a promise he had made years earlier to Mephibosheth's father. And so basically he said, I want to bless Jonathan and Jonathan's offspring. Can I just challenge you right now that you may be living in the blessing of your fathers? Many of us are. I had a phone call this week. I reached out to a guy who's an attorney that several decades ago, he had helped my father and mother write their will. And so because my father's passed, we're kind of in the middle of all that. So I reached out. The guy didn't even live here anymore. Kind of find out he used to go to our church. He used to be in a band. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I know who you are. We started talking. And he got back so fast. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, this is going to take forever to get this guy. He's a busy guy. He's an attorney. I'm sure he's got all kinds of clients. He immediately texted me and said, I would love to help you. What can I do? I knew your father. And I realized because he looked up to my father so much is why he's being so kind to me. I wonder how many of you are living in a blessing that maybe it may not have been your mother or your father, but it could have been your great-grandmother, your great-grandfather. Somewhere up the line, someone in your family honored God, and you are being blessed because of it. Now, some of you say, but you don't know my family. I didn't have any of that. You know what? For several generations, I didn't either, but I kept hearing. My mother told me about this great uncle that she had somewhere up the line who lived for the Lord. In fact, there's a famous story that when he was dying, he literally called all the relatives and said, come in and see me. I want to show you how a Christian dies. Like, this guy went full John Wick. I was like, whoa, this guy's crazy. And he's like, he's facing death. He's like, this is how we die. He's like, yeah, you know, right? I couldn't believe it. And so he did that, and then he passed. What a cool story. He was not afraid of death because of his Lord and Savior, Jesus. I think, how much of my family is blessed because that man honored God? I love that story. Now, I don't even know if that man had any kids or not. He was somewhere along the line. You may say, well, I don't even have children, you know, Pastor. But no, but you understand, you are going to be blessing someone because you are in some lineage that when you serve God, when you put God first, your children's children, your nephews, your nieces, God will bless them because of the goodness in your life that God's hand is on you. And so you do make a difference when you choose to honor the Lord. It really does happen. So let me just say this. You know, you are probably being shown kindness from God because of someone up the line. And some of you say, I don't have any of that. Actually, you do. I don't know if you know this, but let me show you something. I'm going to go full biblical 23andMe on you. Check this out. Let me show you something. Galatians 3:29 says you got adopted in. Check it out. It says this. You belong to Christ, so you are Abraham's descendants. You will inherit all of God's blessings because of the promise God made to Abraham. And so you are in the lineage of God's people. And so God says, because of that, because of my faithful promise to Abraham, I will bless your life. Isn't that good news? Someone needs to get excited that you got blessings coming your way. Now, here's what this also does. It also creates a humility for those of us who think we're all that. Oh, man, I've worked so hard, done all this, and because of my smarts and because I achieved this and achieved that. Whoa, hold on. It says here that you're in the lineage that you got a blessing, not because of who you are, but because of whose family you're in. So I just want to encourage you, for those of us who are a little high and mighty, maybe this is time to humble ourselves to recognize, oh, maybe most of this is just coming because I just happen to be blessed by God. I just happen to have family that honored the Lord. I want to tell you right now, I'd love to say that I am who I am because of me. No. Listen, I have a faithful father and mother that honored the Lord their entire life, and I am living, me and my sister are living in the blessing of God. I tell my children this, you're living in the blessing of faithfulness many years before you, and my grandchildren will do the same. That's the way God intended it to be. And so, you know, I also think, you know, I want to make sure that I'm honoring God because I want my kids to live in that blessing. I don't want to do the opposite. I don't want to give them a broken chain of unfaithfulness. I want to give them a strong whole chain of faithfulness where they see how I live and that I honor the Lord, right? God will show you kindness because of your father's faithfulness. This is really important too. I want to just say this. You are part of the lineage. And so not only do you need to embrace it, but you need to recognize that you make an impact on the next generation when you do that. Let me keep going. Check this out. Look what he says next. This is so powerful. He says to Mephibosheth, I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. Okay, so he didn't just say, I'm going to cut you a big check today because I'm the king and I knew your dad. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm not just going to give you money. I want you to eat at my table. This is really important. The king wants you to know him and to know you. What a privilege that is, right? Like, wow. Why would I have this honor to sit at the captain's table, at the king's table? I get to eat with the CEO. I get to eat with the prime minister, right? Like the leader wants to know me. God wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to know you. It says this, Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who is your servant that you should so show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Wow. Look at how he saw himself. He didn't see himself like the royalty he's from. He saw himself as a crippled man. I wonder how many of us have taken a snapshot of our worst day and tried to say, that's who I am. You are not what was done to you. You are not what you did. You are not what happened on your darkest day. You are a child of the king and need to pull up at the table and recognize this. But we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. When someone sees the world and says, oh, you know, bad stuff's going to come my way again. I mean, I'm sure this won't work out. Things are going to fall apart. That's how you're viewing yourself. So this is so important that we break that instead and begin to see ourselves as God sees us. It goes on to say this. Don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show you kindness to you because of the promise I made your father, Jonathan. Then the king summoned Saul's servant, Ziba, and said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for your master's household. Wow. He's like, hey, no, I'm not just going to give you a check. I'm going to give you all the land back, all the farm. I'm going to give you all the animals. And then he said, hey, Ziba, come here. You used to work for Saul's family. Well, I want you to work for Saul's family again. This gave not only a blessing to Mephibosheth, it gave Ziba purpose again. A lot of times we struggle with feeling insignificant. I love this, but here's where we get our significance. We get our significance because we are invited to the king's table, number one. And number two, this is really important too, to just check out Ziba. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, I know how to run the family business. I used to do that. He's like, well, now I want you to do it again, and you're going to do it from Mephibosheth, and bless him. Can I tell you, those of you who struggle with trying to find happiness, let me help you right now. Those of you who struggle with depression, you know what will make you depressed? Trying to make yourself happy. Can I give you the real answer to making yourself happy? Quit trying to make yourself happy and start to try to make other people happy. Because here's the thing I know about you and me. I can tell you with unerring accuracy what God's will is for your life. Here it is. You ready? What can you do that meets a need of someone else? What were you built to do that solves someone else's problem? Accountants solve financial problems for people. Counselors solve emotional problems for people. Pastors solve spiritual problems for people. Mechanics solve mechanical problems for people. You were designed to be a solution to someone else. If you will lose yourself in being a solution to someone else, you'll look up one day and go, oh, wow, I'm happy. How'd that happen? Because you were designed to make a difference. That's what we're all designed to do. So I just want to encourage you to find satisfaction in knowing you can make an impact in someone's life. Can I mention something else? I want to talk about disability for a second. A lot of people have disabilities. I don't know if you know this. In their day, when someone was disabled, people thought in a very superstitious way, and people still think this way sometimes. They think, well, the reason I have this disability is because God must not love me. He must be punishing me for my sins or the sins of my family. None of that's true. We live in a broken world. You were born into a broken world marred by sin. What that means is that not only through Adam and Eve did sin enter the world, it literally entered our bloodstream, our very DNA. And that's why this, I mean, can you explain another reason why a baby would get cancer? They'd not even live long enough to do anything to cause that. They didn't cause it. So I just want to say this too, to those of you who deal with a disability, and I don't know what your disability may be. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe you feel disabled relationally. You feel very broken, and you just have broken relationships, and it's caused a lot of pain to you. Maybe it's in your family relationships. Maybe you've experienced a job loss, and it really hurts, and you feel wounded because you feel rejected. Like, am I not enough for the market to pay me so that I can bring something? And you feel lost from that. You know, when David said, Mephibosheth, come eat at my table, when they pulled him up to the table, imagine just if you can, just for a second, I'm pulled up to this table now, and the king's across from me. Guess what? The king can't even see the part of me that's disabled. So when you pull up to the table, I want you to know the king doesn't even see your disability. The king sees you as whole and complete. So I just want to encourage you today that all of us are broken in some area, but when you pull up to the king's table, he sees who you really are, what you really have to offer. He sees a child of the promises of God when he looks at you. You are whole and complete in Christ. One more thing. Those of you who have someone in your family that you're probably taking care of, I just want to speak to a very special group of people that maybe you got married, but you had no idea your husband or wife would have a disability later in life and a struggle, and you've been taking care of them for maybe a very long time. Maybe someone here is taking care of an ailing mother or father or grandmother or grandfather or a child that has a disability or struggle. And I want to tell you right now, you are royalty. And you have been invited to the king's table too. And God is saying, I see you. I see what you do every day. And we see it too. And we honor you right now. Let God's grace and goodness come upon you because you are a gift. What life would be without you, we don't even want to know. We're so thankful for what you do to bring help and encouragement to other people who are hurting. Can we just, come on, let's cheer for these people because it's a lot. They're carrying something. And that's a lot. You find wholeness at the table. You also find purpose at the table of God. And so I just want to encourage you today, wherever you are, see yourself as an answer. We are all an answer to someone else's problem, someone else's struggle. And so can I also tell you something? You know what the name Mephibosheth actually means? I love this. It means exterminator of shame. Isn't that good? Some of us, I know you're forgiven for your sin, but why are you still carrying it then? You're carrying shame for something that was done to you, maybe something you did, places you went, people you went there with, things you did with those people, and you feel shame and you feel guilt for it. Mom guilt's a big thing too. A lot of mom and dads feel guilty thinking maybe I caused this for my child to have this issue, and the truth is that it probably had nothing to do with you. But yeah, you feel this guilt. Can I tell you another thing that Mephibosheth means? It means two things. It means exterminator, shame. It also means idol breaker. I want to help you see something different about the shame and guilt that you carry. Did you know that's an idol? When you feel bad about something that you did, that's an idol. Because what it's actually saying is somehow you can earn God's love. But the Bible is very clear that for by grace you are saved. There's nothing we can do to earn it. So there's nothing you can do to blow it either. So I just want to encourage you to hear this loud and clear. You need to let go of that idol and live in the full grace and mercy of God. You are completely forgiven. That's all been removed. Someone needs to leave a little lighter today. You don't need to carry that. And then the scripture says something I did not expect. When I read this, I thought, why is this there? I always like to ask the question, why is something in the Bible? When you read something, you're like, I don't know what that means. I've learned not to skip those verses you don't understand, because normally if you drill down in them, there's something really good there. And so look what the scripture says. It says, but Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table. Ziba replied, yes, my lord, the king. I am your servant, and I will do all that you have commanded. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. Then it says this, Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. Why would they tell us that? Micah doesn't seem to have anything to do with the story. But yet, God threw that in. Listen, the Lord doesn't throw stuff into the Bible willy-nilly. It's there for a reason. So I began to study and think, why would they mention Micah? Why would they mention that Mephibosheth had a son? It says, from then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants, and Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. This means that because Mephibosheth came to dinner all the time, I'm sure Micah came to dinner too. One of the reasons why you need to live in the full abundance and blessing of God isn't even about you. Because some of you are like, oh, I don't need that. I don't need it, I'm good, I'm fine. When you keep pushing back God's goodness on your life, you don't realize this, you're teaching your kids to do that. Now, how many of you, moms are bad at this, moms, ladies, you're terrible at receiving, okay? It's just one of those things, right? Let me just say this, if you're like, oh, I don't need anything nice, I don't need to, and then if your kids are watching you, then one day they're gonna grow up, and when they're 30 years old, be like, hey, mom, I was offered a promotion. Great, did you get the job? Well, I turned it down. Why? Well, I learned from you that you're not supposed to accept good things. You want to teach your kids that? You want to teach your kids not to accept good things? Or do you realize, oh, so when I live a limited life because I somehow think I'm really not worthy, then it teaches my kids to do that too. So this is really important. Monkey see, monkey do. Your kids are watching you. And if you will not live in the full grace and the full measure of God's goodness and blessing, you're teaching your kids not to do it too. So embrace all that God has for you so that they embrace all that God has for them. Do it for them. Would you write that down? Embrace. Listen, number four is this. Change how you see yourself. God wants you to do this table. And the last thing is embrace all that God has for you for the sake of your children. That's why you do it. It's so important that we do that. And let me just go back to this one concept I mentioned about Ziba. Ziba found purpose in meeting someone else's needs. You know, we're called to help others, to make an impact. A prayer I often pray is, God, help our church to make a difference in the community. This is the thought I always have. If a big earthquake happened and all of our campuses were swallowed up, would anyone miss us? Would the community be different if we weren't here? Is the community different because we are here? Because we need to be serving, making an impact, making a difference. And so, you know, is there a benefit to knowing you? Are you a blessing to the people? Hey, let me talk to the husbands for a second. Hey, husbands, is there a benefit that your wife married you? Other than your incredible good looks, I know. But let's talk about that. You know, when she's stressed and she's overwhelmed, do you jump up and go, I got it. That's your job. The Bible actually calls you a savior to her. Did you know that? You're supposed to just meet her needs. And so I always think, I want to make sure my wife is like, I'm so glad I married that guy. Man, he just takes care of me. I don't have to think about a thing. He just handles stuff. That's what it's supposed to be. Men, is there any benefit whatsoever being married to you? Or do you just expect everyone to serve you? Is there any benefit in the workplace that you're there? Is there any benefit that you live on your street? The people on your street go, oh, I'm so glad I live next to that neighbor. Man, I'll tell you what, our neighborhood's better because they're here. We are supposed to be a benefit to the world around us. I want to challenge you with this. Instead of trying to make yourself happy, we're all, it's ridiculous. Everyone's, you know, we've taken TikTok and turned it into our counselor. We're following all these people thinking, oh, maybe I should do that. That'll make me happy, and then I'll be a big deal, and I'll get more followers, and this and that. That's so shallow and empty. It will not do it. It will not satisfy the voice. You can have everything the world has to offer and lose your soul. The Bible's very clear. But if you'll give your life up for my sake, Jesus says, then you get your life back. If you'll get your eyes off yourself and say, how can I benefit my spouse? How can I be a benefit to my children? How can I be a benefit to my church? How can I be a benefit to my community? How can I be a benefit to the customer? Be a benefit to my boss? Be a benefit to everyone I'm around? If you'll get your eyes on blessing others, you'll find purpose in it. That's how that works. I just want to encourage you today that God is saying, pull up to the table. I want you here. I've got great things for you. And you are an answer to someone's problems. Would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? Would you just take a moment to pray? The King is looking for you today to bring healing, to bring wholeness. He wants to break the idol of guilt and shame. He does not see your wounds, because when you pull up to the table, he just sees you face to face, and he loves you. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you and me. Jesus died for our sins and our shame. Then he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you and me to individually receive him. You can pray this prayer with me right now. You can receive Christ. Just say this prayer. Just say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. You just gave your life to Christ. No one's looking around. Would you just hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ? Would you just hold your hand high across all of our campuses right here at Broadcast? Hold those hands high. If you just prayed the prayer for the very first time at Rodfield, hold those hands high. At Stone Oak, hold those hands high. Praise God. God's moving right now at Portland. We see your hands at Padre Island, at Rockport Fulton. Hold those hands high. Praise God. God's moving right now. I want to encourage you, if you're online with us, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text my hands raised or click hand raised. One last thing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Today is the day that you let go of your shame and of your guilt. It's over. It is over. Jesus said, it is finished. I've removed it from you. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak full and complete and total forgiveness over you. He has forgiven you. Now you need to forgive you and forgive others. God, thank you that you have invited us to your table, that we can live a free and whole life. Even with our brokenness, you see us as whole, as complete. We have purpose, and we are here to make an impact. God, thank you that we can do that. So, Lord, we pull up to your table. We thank you that you want to speak to us. You want to lead us. You have great things for us. Thank you that we have a promised land, but we also are a people of promise. May we live like it. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Pastor?